Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's time for Bonte.
I call myself Tater Mac. Tater Mac. Like Tay, Tater Mac, and it was a terrible nickname.
Steiny.
Yeah! Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Say it!
And Guru.
And the G in BS&G stands for Guru.
On 95.7, The Game.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to BS&G on this Friday morning slash afternoon. John Dickinson in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. Matt Steinmetz is here. Vonte Hill is here. Kurt Young will be on the show at 1 o'clock. The Giants pitching coach as they continue to remain red hot. Now, you guys already know where I'm going. I said this to JD in the morning. Said this to Steiny in our production meeting before the show. It's an easy day today. It's 888-957-9570. That's the phone number. What was the greatest feat yesterday in the sports world? I mean, Madison Bumgarner threw 94 pitches and went through 9. Stellar performance. Stellar. I mean, just unbelievable. You don't see pitchers go 9 anymore. The bullpen, you know, Maranta, Holland getting out of trouble. Will Smith getting out of trouble in the bottom, in the top of the 9th. Those are all great. Those are all phenomenal. Great theater. But I don't think anything topped, Steiny, what happened yesterday on this show with John Dickinson reciting the 82-game regular season schedule for the Golden State Warriors. 24 hours later, or less than 24 hours later, I'm still amazed by that feat.
It's something that occupied a lot of my time last night in a social situation that I was in. We talked a lot about what John Dickinson was able to do yesterday on the spur of the moment without any notes. Truly remarkable. The question now becomes, what does he do for an encore? What can he do for an encore? The one thing I'd like to maybe see is when the Warriors schedule for 19-20 comes out, I say we print it out, we hand it to Dickinson, we give him a minute, we pull the paper from his hand, and we see if he can do the upcoming season. Just a remarkable, remarkable display yesterday.
Good to see you, fellas. Not sure where to go. Oh, Giants are hot.
Yeah, Andy stayed the entirety of the Giants game.
I got all 16 in last night and covered the post game.
Did you really?
Free in the post game, yeah.
Oh, so you were out of the Bumgarner scrum.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely.
Let me tell you something.
Little video, little audio we're going to hear.
As you know, JD, I'm skeptical, but you can't deny what's been happening. And you have that sound right now?
I have that sound right now.
Let's play that sound right now because there's something to what Bumgarner's saying.
Right. Bumgarner on trade talks.
I'm less worried, less conscious about a trade given the way the team's playing.
I don't give a Well, I'm here to win games for this team, and that's what we're doing. Yeah.
The trade stuff at any point tonight, do you take a step back? Is it your final stand?
No. I'm trying to win games for the Giants, and we're trying to get into the postseason, and we're making a push. We're coming.
We're trying to make a push, and we're coming. That is Mad Bum last night after the Giants win in 16 innings, 2-1 against the New York Mets. What did you take away from that, Steiny?
Boy, that's a good question. What I took away was that the question wasn't really what about getting traded. It was about, do you think about it? And he wouldn't even entertain that. You know what I mean? I mean, he didn't even give you the, look, it's a business. This stuff happens. I roll with the punches. Like, his answer was almost more defiant.
Right.
Like, almost like, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, in a weird kind of way. I know he's not Farhan Zaidi, but it almost felt like some kind of decision's been made internally that not necessarily that they're going to change the strategy, but like for now, you got to play it out. Well, I think you got to play it out.
John Heyman last night, Radio.com insider, or he tweeted this morning, Mad Bum raised his trade value with a huge performance last night. But the question now is whether he'll be traded at all. One interested exec says he already sensed the Giants had pulled back in talks. Interesting call now. Gutty team that's hot versus huge trade commodity. JD, how does this play out on Sunday? We've been talking for a year now about trading Mad Bum. Now it's like, wait a minute. This team is 26-15 since June 1st. They've won 13-15. Mad Bum's pitching well, 1.55 ERA in his last five contests. What do you do now with a defiant Madison Bumgarner?
Well, he sounds, number one, like a guy that doesn't want to go anywhere. I think that's probably the simplest way to put it. This team's still not 500, and I know they're, what, 2.5 or 2? I don't even look at the games back, really, until you get to 500. And if they win tonight, they'll be at 500, and we can all take a look at it. But the reality of this situation is it's July 19th, and the Giants don't have to make a decision until July 30th or July 31st as to what they're going to do with Bumgarner, Will Smith, anybody else. So they still have an opportunity to let this thing play out. Three more games against the Mets. The Cubs are in. They play San Diego after that. You know, you lose 4 or 5 in a row. I know it doesn't look like that because they're playing at a higher level. It doesn't look like they will. But if you do, it kind of takes care of itself. If you use the momentum you get from a thrilling 16-inning win last night where you come back from down a run in the 16th to win it, and you sweep the Mets, you take 3 of 4, you win the series against the Cubs, you get over 500, then all of a sudden maybe you change course at that point in time. They don't have to do anything just yet, and that's right. A good position to be in.
Yeah, and again, we always talk about buy or sell. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way, because let's take what's going on with the reports. About a month ago, or recently, I think Jeff Passan wrote that the Giants were willing to move off Bumgarner a month ago.
Right.
Well, that tells me they were willing to do it, but there wasn't a good deal out there. There's a chance that they are still willing and able to move off Bumgarner, but they might not like the deal. And see that, and that's always the gray area. If the trade deadline comes and goes, JD and Bonte, and Bumgarner's here, then you have to kind of wonder, well, what were the deals that Zaidi and the Giants turned down? And that's the part you never really find out, but that's a very real possibility too. Zaidi doesn't like what he's seeing out there.
And here's the other thing that's in play here. It's this no trade list or this trade approval list for Madison Bumgarner. The Braves, the Red Sox, the Cubs, the Astros, Brewers, Yankees, Phillies, and Cardinals. Those are all teams that would have interest in Madison Bumgarner. So to your point, Steiny, about, well, has something been decided, or it almost sounds as if something's been decided, Madison Bumgarner has some control.
That's true.
In right. That he would have to approve a trade to many of the teams that would be interested.
And now I think what's in play, what's crazy, right? We're going to see Bumgarner again at home against the Cubs next week. Like, do you start talking extension if you do continue to stay in this race? Do you try to get something done with Madison Bumgarner? Or is there a chance to where he does get dealt, but Bumgarner's saying, you know what, the core's still there. They still have some championship pedigree. I'm going to go back. Like, everything is in play now. Like, extension talks, trade talks, keeping the whole squad right now, starting to keep the bullpen intact, because we're talking about Will Smith, Sam Dyson, and Tony Watson. What do you do with those guys now?
Well, and the other thing is, you read the tweet by John Heyman about Mad Bum. What do you think about Madison Bumgarner, who's been pitching for almost, what, a decade probably?
Right.
And he makes a great start last night, and that's the one that's going to convince everybody his trade value's up or not. I mean, does that mean today Zaidi's taking more calls than normal because Bumgarner threw a hell of a game last night? And I'm not saying that doesn't happen. So maybe that's the thing. Maybe if this is true and Bumgarner pitched a great game, his value goes up. Well, then maybe something could happen sooner rather than later, because maybe there's a new deal or two out there that we haven't seen.
Yeah, I think every game helps or hurts your trade value to some extent. So having him go out there, again, last night was a bright lights game. And I know the Mets stink, or you know, they're not too far off where the Giants are. Right? But then they swept the Twins, and that's fine. But when the Mets come in, there is a bigger feel to it. When Noah Syndergaard's pitching and Jacob deGrom tonight, you know, these are guys that have made the playoffs and pitched in big games themselves. So when it's Bumgarner against Syndergaard, like a 2016 wild card game,
right?
Like that has a different gravitas to it, and they both pitched to that. And Bumgarner, I think, again last night, small example, regular season example, but it shows you that he still has that ability to ramp it up in what feels like a bright lights kind of a game and pitch exceptionally well. So I think last night does add a little bit when you look at the fact that there was more juice on that game and the Giants are trying to keep momentum and he went toe-to-toe with Syndergaard and could have pitched the 10th inning.
94 pitches after nine.
Exactly.
94 pitches after nine. Where do you think Will Smith's value is right now? Where's his value at? Is it dropping? Because you say game by game, right? And then yesterday you see runners on first and third. You're like, uh-oh, here we go again. But he gets out of it. Is that the guy to move and get the bigger package for? What are execs maybe saying, hold on, let me wait a minute here. He's blown a couple saves after the break. He had a rough all-star game. Let me chill.
I don't view Will Smith as a bona fide lockdown closer, and I've never viewed him that way. I know he pitched to that perfect up until the all-star break, and he blew a couple of saves within the last week, and he was in big trouble last night. And I'm not sure teams view him as a bona fide closer option. I just think they view him as a really good reliever that you can use in a number of different ways. So I think if you look at him in that context, he's still got a lot of value. And yeah, does it hurt a little bit? He's been tremendous throughout the course of this year. So I think maybe it hurts it a little bit, but people get over closers quickly. Oh, blow a couple games. Now the guy's not pitching well. Will Smith's a darn good option for a lot of teams. So I don't, you know, he'll get back on track at some point. I still think he's got a lot of value.
All right, 888-957-9570. We want to hear from Giants fans. What would trading Mad Bum say to you as a fan of this team? Also, a couple other questions. Are you starting to feel it yet? Are you starting to think this season can be special for the San Francisco Giants? Last night, was it the most memorable regular season game? What, since Andrew McCutchen last year when he went 6-for-7? Tell me, Giants fans, 888-957-9570. Also, read your text here at the Chilton Auto Body text line. But first, let's go to Stephen Langford with the latest on what's happening on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Stephen?
What's up, Ante? What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Canon Mega Tank Printers. We had a 16-inning battle last night between the Giants and Mets as the Giants were down 2-1 going into the bottom of the inning. Brandon Crawford tied it up with a double. Then Donovan Solano stepped to the plate with the bases loaded and did this with a 1-0 count.
And Solano is going to step up. Game is over.
3-2 was your final as Madison Bumgarner went 9 innings, only giving up 5 hits, adding 6 Ks on 94 pitches. Now Giants pitching coach Kurt Young will join Bonte Steiny and JD to talk about that performance at 1 o'clock today. Plus MLB Network's Matt Vasgersian will join Daneman and Darren Smith at 4 o'clock. Open championship update, Shane Lowry still atop the leaderboard. Coming up next, more Bonte Steiny and JD. I'm Stephen Langford on the Bay Area's number one sports station. That's 95.7 The Game.
And Solano is going to step up. Base hit! And this game is... And they just keep on doing it.
Now back to Bonte Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Dwayne Kuiper on the call for NBC Sports Bay Area. Giants win their 6th straight in 16 innings last night at Oracle Park against the New York Mets 3-2. What a fun game. Donovan Solano, you heard the walk off there, got through the right side of the infield, and the Giants went 3-2. Matt Bum was the star of the show, and it was one of those games last night, fellas, where I think they even made believers into more people. And now you got to ask the question. There's two questions here.
what would trading Mad Bum say to you as a fan of the team? And do you really feel like this team is now a good team, a playoff team? I know they're still one under 500, 48 and 49, but they're 2.5 back at a wild card. They've gone 26 and 15 since June 1st. Is this team actually good now, fellas? Is this really a good baseball team? Or is this still a mirage? Like, what's your feelings now, fellas? Because we've been talking all week, the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Wasn't really sure if the Giants were a playoff team. Wasn't really sure if this was real. Do you think it's real now, Steiny?
I'm not sure. I really don't know. But here's what I will say. I think they've played well enough over the last 40 games or so, which is a quarter of the season.
Right.
To make yourself take a look at the next 10, 12, 14 days a little differently maybe than you had. Maybe what it means maybe is you can be more picky about a trade. Maybe there's a deal out there that's, you know, a lot of times there might be a deal that's out there that
right.
Both teams are thinking about. Well, maybe now you feel like we might be able to get a little more from that, and we've lost the sense of urgency because of how well we're playing. So maybe what it does not necessarily is we're going for it,
right.
But it might actually translate into getting better pieces back if you do make a move.
What did last night mean to you, JD?
I think, to your point, Steiny, just kind of building off of that, I think there might be... At some point, you start to think maybe you're a little bit closer to being a good team. Maybe not this year,
right.
But maybe you start looking at the way this team has come together, and whether you think they're a playoff team this year or not, you almost set that aside, but you take a big picture view of you're not as far away from being a good team
right.
as maybe you thought you were,
right.
to where you have to trade X and Y for prospects or for guys that can help you now or younger players. So I think that's a consistent evaluation that needs to be had. Just the way that Farhan Zaidi's been able to shape the roster and improve the team in season, really.
Right.
Because when you look at the 26 and 15, the 26 and 15 is a different team in a way. Now, I haven't seen enough, and you have to look at the big picture, and let's see if they can get to 500 first, and then we'll kind of reevaluate things. Can they get over for a couple of games? You almost have to wait and see there, but this is a different team with Dickerson and Yastrzemski
yep.
and Solano, and Steven Vogt's a bigger part of this team now. They've reshaped the rotation with
right.
Anderson and Beedy. So it is a different team. You have to account for that. But I also think you start to look big picture and you go, well, maybe this thing isn't as dire as it looked
right.
like in terms of competing in 2020, 2021.
Let's go out to the phone lines here. 888-957-9570. Let's go out to Johnson in San Francisco. He wants to talk about Mad Bum here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Johnson?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Hey, I heard an interview. Hey, that's Mad Bum putting the management unnoticed. Like, hey, you see what's going on here? We got something going on. If you trade me, I'm Mad Bum, you're going to regret it. Because the way I see it, it's not going to be a long-term fix. If they could get a couple of guys, I don't know, free agency next year, they could be going at it again. And you don't want to have, you know, a pretty good team and you don't have Mad Bum anymore, or you got Mad Bum and another team going at you. So if they're going to trade Mad Bum, you better make sure, if you're the Giants, that you're going to get at least one, two, or three guys that are going to be all-stars. Because otherwise, man, he's going to go get you, and you're going to watch Mad Bum get World Series rings for other teams.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, that's the risk. That's clearly the risk of moving Bumgarner. But as far as Bumgarner making a statement, don't trade me, I mean, with all due respect, that's not his decision unless it's to one of those eight teams and the Giants have to, you know, kind of knock on his door and say,
right.
are you willing to do this? But, yeah, I mean, we had Joe Girardi on yesterday. He said, you know, I'm sure Bruce Bochy and Zaidi would have liked to have been either a lot better or a lot worse.
Right.
It's kind of weird the position they're in right now. But I guess the thing to keep in mind is they're in this position because they're hot right now, and they wouldn't if they're not.
Let me ask you this, fellas. If the Giants win tonight and they get the 500, would you now consider them being in a playoff race? Do you now say, okay, all right, now this is for real. Now we got to start looking at the wild card picture. They're at 500. Their run differential coming into tonight is plus 56 since June 1st. Are they now in a playoff race if they do win tonight?
Well, I mean, here's what I think. I don't think they'd be in any more or less of a playoff race because of what happens tonight. Like I just cannot get into one game dictating. I think you got to look at it as though July 31st is the next signpost. What are you at that point? And, you know, because you can win tonight and then lose five in a row. I mean, you know how baseball is.
Right.
But I think they've earned a chance that if by July 31st, if they're essentially where they are now, then if they don't make any moves, or even if they make a move to add somebody, which I doubt, but let's say they don't make any significant moves, I think people will certainly understand. You know, if they were 40 and 60 and they didn't do anything at the trade deadline, then I think fans would be upset, actually. But if they're 50 and 50 and right there and they don't make a move, I think people should – I think people would understand a little more.
I think the other way you have to look at it, too, is who's in front of them. And the Giants have passed some teams. They've passed the Mets and Pittsburgh, San Diego, and Colorado in their own division. But still ahead of them are teams like Milwaukee, who came into the year thinking they were a damn good baseball team, went to the league championship series in a game seven a year ago. The Cardinals added Paul Goldschmidt. They believe they're a playoff contending team coming in. The Arizona Diamondbacks are 49-48, a game up on the Giants, but their run differential is 100 better than the Giants right now, and their expected win-loss based on their run differential says they should be six games better than their record is at this point in time. So those are the four teams. Philadelphia, another team. They signed Bryce Harper. Like, there are the three teams that I mentioned, Milwaukee, St. Louis, Philadelphia, and then Arizona as an outlier that may be, in fact, a better team than the other three.
Right.
With some lesser names on that roster. So I think you have to look at it in terms of, it's still probably going to be tough. This isn't Colorado and San Diego and some of these teams struggling. Now that you've raised your level a little bit, the next wave of teams you're competing with, you're going to have to be even better than you've been overall.
JD and I were talking before the show about run differential, and it's a number that's out there. And it's one of those numbers, one of those stats that I don't know how serious I take that stat. Because you'll get games where, you know, for example, the Giants beat up on the Rockies 17-2. You have these anomalies throughout the season where you may win a game by 12 runs, 13 runs. I don't think it's a true – I think it's an indication that you're a good team, but I don't think it's the end-all, be-all run differential. But another thing, you're mentioning all the teams above the Giants right now in the wild card. I started looking at what the Giants have done head-to-head against some of these teams. Now, we talked yesterday about the Giants playing the Dodgers really tough, where they're 5-8 against the Dodgers. A lot of those games have been tough. Against the Nationals so far, they're 1-2. Against St. Louis, we saw them before the All-Star break beat the Cardinals 2-3 down at Oracle Park. Against the Brewers, they're 4-2 against the Brewers. So they've kind of held their own against the top teams. Now, we haven't seen the Cubs yet. We'll see them next week, JD, the Cubs at Oracle Park. We'll see the Phillies in a couple weeks. Right when the deadline hits July 31st, they'll be in Philadelphia taking on Bryce Harper and the Phillies. So I want to see how they do against these teams even more. But so far, so good with this team against the big boy teams in the National League, the quote-unquote big boy teams.
Yeah, in Arizona, I think 6-7,
six
I want to say. Yeah,
six and seven.
So they've, you know, it's been kind of up and down with them.
I mean, I do think this has gotten in – I don't want to say they're in a tricky situation, but when did we first start talking about this? When they were five or six back?
Well, 510 on the Chill Not a Body text line. Shout out to Guru for believing in the Giants. And it happened before we left the Vegas.
Yeah, I'll give Guru credit for saying don't give up on the Giants. But again, like the bet's not over. I mean, the bet isn't won or lost right now. What's happening right now may be changing some perspectives, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they should not sell.
Right.
You know, that's not quite where we're at yet. So I do think, look, the next 2 weeks are going to be very interesting. I think a lot of pressure's on the, not pressure, but I think the Giants' play might dictate a lot of this over the course of the next week, 10 days. But you know what? If Zaidi thinks they got a shot at it and he turns down a couple deals that maybe he wouldn't have turned down before, well, then that means you got to roll the dice and give it a shot. I'm not convinced he's there yet.
No, I don't think he's there yet either. And I also think it's you mentioned pressure, and it struck me because if there's one thing going on with the Giants right now, it's they don't feel any pressure.
That's true.
House money.
And it's because they're supposed to stink. And 2 weeks ago, they did stink. And now they're on this run, and they're beating some pretty good teams, and they're making a push, and the narrative's changing a little bit, and they can just go out there and have fun. I mean, it's very reminiscent of some of the A's runs, like over the years, when they, you know, 2012, they were supposed to stink, lose 100 games. They kind of come out of nowhere. Nobody gives a rip. Nobody's going to hold them accountable for every pitch.
Right.
And they get on a roll and they keep it going. Last year, it's the same thing. Everybody thinks they're going to stink, and you just kind of get on a roll, and it almost becomes a house money season.
Yeah. It feels like the A's have a track record now of doing that, playing well after the All-Star break.
Yep.
But also just kind of coming out of nowhere when you're left for dead and nobody's even paying attention to you.
Right. No, like you're right.
There's a value in that I think the Giants are starting to maximize a little bit.
Well, and I actually think if you want to really look at the bright side, I think one of the good things, too, is that this is a veteran-type team doing this.
Right.
So Posey and Bumgarner, they're not – like they know how long the season is, so they know what they're going to have to do for the next 2 months. But because they're veterans, I think they think it's within the realm of possibility.
Let's go to Shaka in Berkeley. He wants the Giants to keep Madison Bumgarner here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Shaka?
Hey, good. Hey, how y'all doing, man?
We're good.
I want to talk about Bumgarner, man, because it seems like they treat him differently than Kane. They gave Kane all this money, and he never, other than a perfect game, this guy won a World Series for us single-handedly. He's a legend forever, man. In the first World Series he helped in 2010 as a kid. So I'm saying everybody's down on the Giants 2 weeks ago. You were the only guy saying that they had a chance. And look right now, I've been watching the game. Dickerson is a beast. I like Yastrzemski. Solano, the one got the winning hit yesterday. They've got a good young core with those veterans that won championship before. So they owe it to this man to stick with him and give him the chance. Is the only one, I mean, he's won the World Series for us. They owe that man that chance, and he wants to stay. So I don't see no reason why he shouldn't stay. And the teams in front of us are mediocre just like us.
Well,
thank you, man, for taking
Thank you, Shaka. Thanks a lot for the call. Do we know he wants to stay? Or do we know
this is home?
He wouldn't.
This is home for him. This is home.
I got to ask you one more. Do we know he wants to stay?
I think anytime you put the teams that are on that no-trade list on the no-trade list, you're basically taking the top eight teams that would want you, and you know what you also do? You almost dare. Well, they wouldn't really trade me to the Dodgers. You know what? They wouldn't really trade me to the A's because those two teams are not on the list. So you almost I'm not going to put them on the list because they aren't going to trade me there probably anyway.
Right.
So I think anytime you look at those teams being on the list, there's some control that you want to have over your fate, and I think you could lead that to thinking he wants to be here.
See, I don't think Bum really wants to leave. This is all he knows. And you talk about those other markets, Bumgarner knows. We were talking about the media, right? East Coast media, West Coast media. And he knows that, you know, when he gets away with things like when he's throwing or when he's telling Max Muncy to hurry up and run around the bases, this market here won't really get on him for that. Like, he has it great here. He is the mayor. And we're going to talk a little later about where does Mad Bum rank among the greatest Bay Area athletes of all time. I think he's up there in the conversation.
Well, yeah, we are going to talk about that because I think it's interesting. But if Bumgarner would have said, if Bumgarner said to the Giants before the season, guys, I really don't want you to trade me. I really don't want you to trade me. Do the Giants organization owe him that?
No.
See, I think a lot of people, though, JD, would answer, yes, they do owe it to him.
And I think Larry Bear, if he was around before he got suspended, he may have thought the same way the fans thought. I do owe it to Bumgarner. I owe it to him right now to give him this extension and keep him a Giant forever.
Wow.
That's I think, a big thing. When Larry Bear had to step away, I think with Farhan, he had Rob Dean there. Nothing ever happened, right? You know, the Giants were just kind of in the background. But if Larry Bear was front and center, and he's sitting there before the season, he goes, I don't want to go through this. I want Bumgarner to be a Giant forever. We need to get a deal done now. Because that's been kind of the Giants' way with some of their star players. They extend them early. They extend them. They keep them in the uniform for a long time. So I think with Larry Bear, it all depends on how much, like we were talking yesterday, how much power does Farhan really have? Well, we're about to see. We're about to see over the next couple of weeks.
He signed a very team-friendly deal at a young age, and it was a very long deal, and he kind of got stuck.
Right.
And I think, you know, that goes to the Tim Flannery made the point just about draft pick compensation and the qualifying offer, and he made the point that the Giants owe Bumgarner a right to be traded just because that would take away the draft pick compensation right. tied to him by virtue of him not being with the Giants.
Right.
So that would, in essence, free his market as a free agent this offseason. So if you're not going to extend him and pay him and maybe back pay him a little bit from what he has done for you,
right?
Then you owe it to him to put him in a position where he can make the most money because you had him on such a sweetheart deal.
Yeah, and what you're saying is if they finish the season with Bumgarner and he becomes a free agent, teams will be less likely to give him as much money because they know they're going to have to give back a compensation pick. So that actually does make sense. But then if you're the Giants and you think you're going to make a run at this thing and you keep him, I mean, maybe maybe at that point you got to decide you're going to re-sign him for the long right. term. Because if you don't, you are kind of, right. I wouldn't say putting the screws to him, but putting him in a position of less advantage to make more money.
From the 408 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, can JD name every Mad Bum start? Still amazed from yesterday.
That's funny. I probably could name all of his playoff starts.
What do you mean?
Like, I could just probably run through and be like,
he started this game, that game.
Yeah, it was, game four in 2010 against Atlanta. Game four against Philly.
Get the dinger ready.
Game four.
It was all game fours in
right.
2010.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's another easy one.
Yeah.
Andy Martino covers Major League Baseball for SNY.TV in New York City. In his article this morning, he says, with the Giants riding a six-game winning streak and jumping into the wild card race in manager Bruce Bochy's final season, the team is genuinely undecided about trading ace Madison Bumgarner and reliever slash closer Will Smith this month, according to Major League sources. A person with direct knowledge of the team's plans and plainly that Bumgarner and Smith are not available at the moment. The Giants have until July 31st to decide.
I mean, honestly, that tells me Bumgarner's not available at the moment because they don't like any deals they have for him. But I still believe, everybody, conventional wisdom 3-4 weeks ago was they're not going to get a haul for Bumgarner. They're right. not going to get a haul. Well, if they're not getting a haul for Bumgarner or they're not getting what they think they should get, well, then they're not going to trade him. Problem is, what if what's going on now with Bumgarner, what happened last night, maybe his next start's impressive, what if they are offered a haul at that point? That's going to be almost a tougher decision a week from now than a week right. ago.
Yeah, it really is, but it's fluid, and that's where the Giants are in a position, right. I think, of advantage now, is there's still time. It's not July 29th right now
right.
where you have to make a decision. And you know what? I still think if it was July 29th right now and they were one under 500 and, let's say, three back and there was four teams in between them,
They deal?
I think they deal.
Yeah. I could see
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah.
I could see that, too.
Really?
Yeah. I do. I think if they were up against it, deadlines at 1 o'clock tomorrow, I think they deal.
Hmm.
If they're in this exact same position they're in now.
It's going to be fascinating to see what Farhan Zaidi does and how the Giants play until that July 31st deadline.
Yeah, and that's the more I think about it, the more I think you're right. What, I mean, it's there's going to be a – are they going to be – on July 31st, might they be in? Might they be the second wild card already at that point? Or might they, right. they? Maybe they're only three out, but there's eight teams back ahead of, you know, that's also going to play into it, I think.
I think all these teams are going to beat each other up, though. I think that,
well, Giants
saying,
included,
jumping over,
though.
Giants included. I think if you just continue to win, you'll cut the game's back deficit here. But Washington's playing well. Milwaukee, they're still right there. A lot could happen in the National League wild card race. We'll continue to roll on this topic. But give us a call here, 888-957-9570. What would trading Mad Bum say to you as a fan of this team? And are you starting to feel it? Do you really believe the Giants are a good baseball team? 888-957-9570. It's Matt Steinmetz, John Dickinson in for Darryl DeGuru Johnson. Vontae Hill here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me.
Girl, you just now back to Vontae, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know.
Are you dedicating a song to Shaka in Berkeley? You know this track, Stardy?
I did. I didn't know what the payoff was going to be. I hadn't remembered that part.
Never heard
Who
that
is
before.
This? This is a one-hit wonder, I believe. Blue Suede, I'm right.
Blue Suede? I had no idea who that. I'd never heard this before. Not bad. Not bad. Matt Steinmetz, John Dickinson, Anford, Darryl DeGuru Johnson, Vontae Hill, Kurt Young will join us at 1 o'clock. It's a good time to talk to him, the Giants pitching coach, formerly of the Oakland A's, here in the Chipman Autobody text line from the 707. Giants have momentum on their side. Play it out over the next 10 days, the 707 says. It's crazy living in Dallas right now. When the Rangers are four games up over 500, and they're selling. Rangers are selling. So the difference in organizations in the AL, teams are like, look, we can't compete with the Astros, the Yankees, the Twins, the Indians, the A's, the Red Sox. They're selling.
That's what happens when you have a top-heavy
top
and a bottom that absolutely stinks.
Yeah, and one team take the Phillies. You know, one team five games better than they are now, and the Giants are in a different spot because then they'd be looking at one wild card spot that's out there. And the reality is, right now, there might be two.
Let's play this Mad Bum cut. He was stellar last night, absolutely phenomenal. Nine innings, gave up five hits, one run, one walk, six strikeouts, and only 94 pitches, and his ERA for the season is now down to 3.65. Let's hear from Mad Bum after the game about trade talks and where he really wants to be.
Are you less worried, less conscious about a trade given the way the team's playing?
I don't give a Well, I'm here to win games for this team, and that's what we're doing. Yeah.
The trade stuff at any point tonight, do you take a step back? Is it your final understand?
No. I'm trying to win games for the Giants, and we're trying to get into the postseason, and we're making a push. We're coming.
We're making a push and we're coming. Let's go to Phil and Tamalpais. Phil, you're on 95.7 again with BSNG. You believe the Giants and that man that you just heard from right there should not be traded from this organization.
Let me be totally clear. You do not trade the greatest pitcher in World Series history for anybody, period. Who are you going to get? You're going to get a bunch of people that may or may not turn out. You know who Madison Bumgarner is. He just proved it last night. He basically told everybody, look, I still got it. That's it. So there's not much to talk about. You guys have a great show and have a really great day, man. But, yeah, and, you know, what's his name, Farhan?
Farhan Zaidi, yeah.
He wants that on his resume. Oh, I just traded the greatest World Series pitcher for a bunch of guys that, you know, may or may not turn, you know, who is he going to get, man? I wouldn't want anybody for him, to be honest. Maybe Tim Lincecum
Christy Mathewson, both of them together in their prime. Okay, maybe. But other than that, forget it, man. The guy, he's lights out. You know, everybody, and well, that's it. That's it.
All right. And there's probably a lot of Giants fans that feel that way. And that's fine. And maybe they won't trade him. And I do understand that you trade Bumgarner for prospects, you're going to catch heat until those prospects produce. So, yes, that is there is some pressure there. Now, could he get a player ready right now and a prospect or two? That I don't know.
Yeah, and I think you're in a spot, too, where if you're the Giants, you have to weigh, well, what types of players do you want? And I wonder if even that has changed, where, you know, coming into this month when you're 10 games under 500 and you're thinking, boy, this might be a – you might want players that are all on the path of, let's say, a Joey Bart that are going to be up late 2021. You know, or late 2020 or for the 2021 season. Do you want players in line with that? Do you want players that are ready to play now? Like, I wonder if that changes and how that changes over the course of time, because I think that ultimately affects the value. I mean, look at you know, like John Lester gets traded to the A's a few years back.
Yep.
He got a young stud hitter with a year left on his contract. I mean, it's not always about getting two guys in single A.
Right.
And, you know, another guy that might be doing something in AAA.
Right. No, they got a cleanup hitter. They traded a cleanup hitter for John Lester, and it backfired.
Let me throw this at you guys, because I'm seeing a lot of this. What if the Giants traded Bumgarner to a contender? He either helped them or didn't help them, and then they re-sign him in the offseason. Is that a possibility?
I could see that with Bumgarner, because he's so quirky. So, you know, He's such this badass, and he knows this organization so well. Like, how would Mad Bum fit in, say, a New York City or Boston? Like, the one team I could see him signing with would be the Braves. They're down in the South, close to home.
But they're on his list, right?
They're on his list for now,
you know,
right?
What? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Bonte, but do you have those eight teams
I
in
do.
Front of you?
Braves.
Can you please read them down again? And then I want to ask you if you can make any sense out of it.
Braves, Red Sox, Cubs, Astros, Brewers, Yankees, Phillies, Cardinals.
Why those teams specifically? They're all very good teams year in and year out. I mean, those are the teams that would be buyers at the deadline. So why would he want to okay those, but they could send him to somewhere, you know, Detroit? And he has no say over it. That's what I don't get.
Well, he knows they won't send him to Detroit, and that's part of it, or he's betting that. And I think that's what he's betting with the Dodgers and the A's, too, which is why they aren't on that list.
Leverage? Is it leverage?
I think it also is.
True.
It's keeping options open as to he wants to see what a prospective team will offer him. And, you know, maybe getting traded to Atlanta comes with a 3-year, $90 million extension.
Yep. Right.
Maybe getting traded to Houston comes with, you know, a 4-year, $120 million contract.
Let me ask you this. Let's say there's 12 contenders, right? Or 12 contenders in baseball and 15 or so teams that are out of it. Would there be any reason why a bottom 15 team, bottom 16 team would want Bumgarner? Is there anybody out there that would say, you know what, let's trade for this guy now and re-up him and see if we can get something around.
I don't see that.
Only if it's
only
if they want to sign him to a long-term deal with a lot of money. I mean, that's
because would that team want to give up their prospects? They're not in contention this year. They're saying, okay, we could build, we could wait on him to become a free agent and sell him on, hey, look, these prospects are coming up. We want to sign you to lead these prospects. You know what it's like winning. You're a veteran pitcher. You can help these players grow. That's what I see.
But at that point, why don't you just play it out? And
what I'm saying.
Let him be a free agent.
Right.
I mean, it's calculated on Bumgarner's part.
Let's go to Philmo Mike in San Francisco. Philmo, what's happening? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, man, Bumgarner is a straight star. He's a star. He's the only star we have. Belt is not a star. Posey is a falling star. He's still a star, you know what I mean? Posey still kind of got it, but he kind of don't got it. But Bumgarner is the emotional leader of that clubhouse. You trade him, I don't know. I wouldn't want to see Bumgarner leave because you have a stud pitcher right now. If you're trying to rebuild, why not let him be your leader? Did you see the quote he had last night? He said, "We don't care about that. I'm trying to win right now." If you don't get fired up about that, if you don't love that about your number one pitcher, and I don't know who up here talking about he's not a number one starter. He's a number one top of the line. So I've been hearing people on the stage talking about, oh, he's a number three guy. No, Bumgarner is a number one guy in that postseason, buddy. That's when it counts.
Thanks for the call, Philmo. What do you guys think about that?
In the postseason, yes. I think in the regular season, he's a 1A or a 2 to me. I think that's just...
Well, I'd almost,
he's a 2. I think he's a 2.
I'd almost...
But in the postseason, he's still got that lore, Steiny.
I mean, he called Posey a falling star. Well, then Bumgarner is clearly on the downside. That's one of the issues that is coming up, I'm sure, when it comes to trading him. I mean, yeah, if the Giants were lousy and it were Bumgarner from 2 or 3 years ago, well, they could get a haul. The problem is he's not the pitcher, at least a bankable pitcher that he was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago when he did those things that were amazing.
Joe Girardi joined us yesterday on the show, and he had this to say about Bochy. If Farhan Zaidi wants to make a push for manager Bruce Bochy in his last season as manager of the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I think Farhan is in a very difficult situation because you think of what Bruce has meant to this organization. You think about what Madison has meant to this organization, a Buster Posey has meant to this organization. What do you do? Because I think they're in a very, very gray area. I'm sure they would have much rather had it. They were really good or they were really bad, so it'd be easy, and you could sell, you know, that to the fan base. The fan base has been incredible out there. So I don't envy Farhan one bit because I think he's in a real tough situation. I think the best thing that could happen in the next 10 or 12 days is that it becomes clear who you really are. Are you the team that didn't hit the first 3 months, or are you this team that's going to hit the rest of the way through? And if you are, then maybe you do make a run.
Well, what if you don't find out what team you really are? What if you go 6-6?
See, and that's where I look at it under the guise of you're not in it unless – somebody beats you over the head, unless the team beats you over the head and says we're in it. Like 500 in the next week and a half doesn't do it. 2 weeks doesn't do it. You go 500, you're one under, not good enough.
Really?
Sell.
Okay.
Like you,
I'm
you
not disagreeing.
You need
I'm
to
not disagreeing
be,
with you.
You need, I, that to me. That's you're out of it until you're sure you're in it.
And you're still not sure they're in it.
No, absolutely not. I'm not at one under.
I'm with you. That's what I was saying all along. I think it, but that does put a little pressure on you over the next. Hey, you want to go for it? You better
right.
go 8-4
right.
over the next 12.
Exactly.
And I think they're hungry for that. This team is.
Well, and that's why last night was a
right
huge
now.
Win.
Huge.
Because you lose. And here's the other. Like it's hanging on the balance. They lose that game last night. Okay, we're talking about them being one under. They're hot. They're this. They're that. You lose that game last night. You're 3 under.
Right.
You know, and then let's say you win a couple over the weekend. You're two under. The Cubs take 2 out of 3. You're 3 under. And then Padres, maybe you win 2 out of 3. You're 2 under. Then you're 2 under. Staring at the deadline with a game to go, and that's a wrap. You're done.
Like Saran.
It's done.
Saran wrap. There you go.
Yeah, Goo. Shout out, Goo.
You like that Saran wrap?
No.
You don't like that?
No, he needs to come up with a new one.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, radio.com sports station. Matt Steinmetz, John Dickinson in for Daryl DeGuru Johnson, Bonte Hill taking you up until 2 p.m. Kurt Young, the pitching coach for the San Francisco Giants, will join us at 1 p.m. to talk about what the staff has been doing, the starters, the pen, Bumgarner's start last night. A lot to get into with Kurt Young, and we will continue to take your phone calls. 888-957-9570. What did last night mean to you moving forward? How is this Giants team playing? Are you a believer in the Giants right now as they are 1 under .500, but 2.5 back of the wild card race? Something I found fascinating, and we were talking about how poorly they hit at home. And look, last night wasn't a great night for the offense. When you think about it, they struck out 18 times, left 14 runners on base. But just in the month of July, I found this as a team, they're batting 300, 299 to be exact. Their on-base percentage is at 354. Their OPS is 887. They've hit 27 jacks and driven in 104 RBIs. So guys are now just, they're hitting. They're starting to feel it. And to Joe Girardi's point about, you know, this team playing for Bochy, it seems like now they're even, yeah, we don't want this to be broken up. Let's continue to win. Let's continue to ride this wave. We want to be here and do it for Mr. Bruce Bochy. And there's some guys in there who, look, we can't deny it. They do have championship pedigree, Steinmetz, and that means something to me.
To me, the worst thing that could happen to the Giants is clearly they don't make any moves and then they fade in August and September. That would be kind of the worst situation.
And that could happen.
Right. And I think the best situation would be what? Maybe you make a couple deals that help you for the future and you hang in it. I think that would be the best thing that could happen for the Giants. But you have to allow for the possibility that this team may not stay hot and may, I don't know. I don't know how you, I don't know. I've never been a GM. How do you operate? Do you operate with optimism, pessimism, or realism? I think you got to do realism.
I think the way you try to decipher that, though, is by, yeah, you look at the record since June 1st, but that's arbitrary. I think you also have to look at, there are different players that are the reason.
Right.
Like, this isn't the same exact, you know, this isn't the same team from April that is right. going through a hot spell that now is going to have to carry. Like, it is Dickerson part of it, Yastrzemski's right. part of it, Solano's part of it, Vogt is part of it. All of these guys are taking up enough of the slacks. Pablo Sandoval, you know, all of those guys are playing well enough to where Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt and Buster Posey can kind of be what they've been the last
right.
couple years, which isn't that great.
Right.
Have their
right.
moments.
Sure.
But because the other players are better, it's able to carry you, or at least performing at a higher level, it's able to carry you a little bit farther.
Let's go out to Andy in Novato. He wants to talk about the future of Madison Bumgarner, 888-957-9570. What's up, Andy? You're on 95.7 The Game. What's happening?
Did you guys miss me? I haven't been around for 2 months.
I did, yes.
Okay, I missed you guys.
Thanks, Andy. Wait, is this Andy who was in Europe visiting his daughter about 4 months ago?
No. This is Andy in Novato. I called you almost every day, but I had a monster surgery, and I you know, it's hard to get the radio when you're not in the car. I mean, normal houses these days, they don't have, you know, anyway.
Radio.com app, Andy. Radio.com app.
He doesn't have apps.
Come on, he's got a cell phone.
Nah, Andy doesn't
Andy, what type
apps.
Of cell phone do you have? Andy, what type
I'm
of cell phone do you have?
Technology. Okay, here's what I got. 2 or 3 years ago, the Yankees went through a transformation, and Cashman is really a great GM. He traded Miller and Aroldis Chapman. With Chapman, he was going to be a free agent. He picks up Gleyber Torres, the best prospect in the minors, and signs Chapman at the end of the year and brings him back. Could we trade Mad Bum? Because I hear what you guys say. We might just fade. This little run here shouldn't dictate our future. So we trade Mad Bum at the end of the year. If we can sign him and it's not too exorbitant, we bring him back and we got the prospects too. What do you think?
Well, that's kind of what I was wondering, if that was even a possibility.
I think you could make a case that trading Madison Bumgarner wouldn't affect the Giants, a statistical case that trading Madison Bumgarner wouldn't affect the Giants more than maybe a game or two between now and the end of the regular season. Now,
okay.
If you get in, you'd want to have him.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think you could say the same thing about Will Smith, although I think actually Will Smith not having him might hurt you more as far as getting there. And then as we know from the Giants' runs where they did win championships and 2016 when they didn't, bullpen's freaking mad.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.